Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 75 of the Minor Prophets. We are continuing our study of Zechariah with a devotion titled, Promises of the Messiah. Stephen Cole once wrote, God's abundant promises for His people should motivate us to pray for their fulfillment. Our text for today is from Zechariah chapters 9 and 10, and today I will be reading from the New Living Translation. This is the message from the Lord against the land of Aram and the city of Damascus. For the eyes of humanity, including all the tribes of Israel, are on the Lord. Doom is certain for Hamath near Damascus, and for the cities of Tyre and Sidon, though they are so clever. Tyre has built a strong fortress and has made silver and gold as plentiful as dust in the streets. But now the Lord will strip away Tyre's possessions and hurl its fortifications into the sea, and it will be burned to the ground. The city of Ashkelon will see Tyre fall and will be filled with fear. Gaza will shake with terror, as will Ekron, for their hopes will be dashed. Gaza's king will be killed, and Ashkelon will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. I will grab the bloody meat from their mouths and snatch the detestable sacrifices from their teeth. Then the surviving Philistines will worship our God and become like a clan in Judah. The Philistines of Ekron will join my people, as the ancient Jebusites once did. I will guard my temple and protect it from invading armies. I am watching closely to ensure that no more foreign oppressors overrun my people's land. Rejoice, O people of Zion! Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem! Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet, he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Judah is my bow, and Israel is my arrow. Jerusalem is my sword, and like a warrior, I will brandish it against the Greeks. The Lord will appear above His people. His arrows will fly like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the ram's horn and attack like a whirlwind from the southern desert. The Lord of Heaven's armies will protect His people, and they will defeat their enemies by hurling great stones. They will shout in battle as though drunk with wine. They will be filled with blood like a bowl, drenched with blood like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will rescue His people just as a shepherd rescues his sheep. They will sparkle in His land like jewels in a crown. How wonderful and beautiful they will be! The young men will thrive on abundant grain, and the young women will flourish on new wine. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds. And he will send showers of rain so every field becomes a lush pasture. Household gods give worthless advice. Fortune tellers predict only lies, and interpreters of dreams pronounce falsehoods that give no comfort. So my people are wandering like lost sheep. They are attacked because they have no shepherd. My anger burns against your shepherds, and I will punish these leaders. For the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah, his flock. He will make them strong and glorious like a proud war horse in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, the tent peg, the bow for battle, and all the rulers. They will be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling their enemies in the mud under their feet. Since the Lord is with them as they fight, they will overthrow even the enemy's horsemen. I will strengthen Judah and save Israel. I will restore them because of my compassion. It will be as though I had never rejected them, for I am the Lord their God who will hear their cries. The people of Israel will become like mighty warriors, and their hearts will be made happy as if by wine. Their children, too, will see it and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. When I whistle to them, they will come running, for I have redeemed them. From the few who are left, they will grow as numerous as they were before. Though I have scattered them like seeds among the nations, they will still remember me in distant lands. They and their children will survive and return again to Israel. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will resettle them in Gilead and Lebanon until there is no more room for them all. They will pass safely through the sea of distress, for the waves of the sea will be held back, and the waters of the Nile will dry up. The pride of Assyria will be crushed, and the rule of Egypt will end. By my power, I will make my people strong, and by my authority, they will go wherever they wish. I, the Lord, have spoken. Zechariah chapter 9 begins the final section of prophecy, which consists of poems and pictures about the first and second advents of the Messiah. Laurie Broughton and Jim Edlin divide chapter 9 into two major sections and share the following insight. The conquest of enemies in preparation for the coming king, that's in verses 1 through 8, and then, in verses 9 through 17, the arrival of the king and his kingdom. The portrait of the Lord as a warrior dominates chapter 9. This image of God emerges in the Exodus and conquest narratives. You can see Exodus chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, and Joshua chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and also Joshua chapter 24, verses 11 through 13. In prophetic literature, the warrior image of the Lord is often associated with collections of oracles against other nations. You can see Amos chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 47, also Jeremiah 49, 23 through 27, Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 15 through 17, and also Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 1 through chapter 28, verse 26. Zechariah chapter 9 shares several features that are typical of this genre. These include a description of the nation's offense, a proclamation of judgment from the Lord, and an analysis of the effects of judgment. At times, the genre also includes words of salvation for Israel and Judah. Their primary function seems to be comfort and encouragement for God's people, since they affirm the Lord's sovereignty over the nations. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, shares a prophetic statement about Jesus coming as King and Savior, riding a donkey, specifically a colt. A colt is a young animal who is newly trained. Historically, kings rode into town on white horses or extravagant chariots. However, God's Son, Jesus, would come in humility, riding a young donkey. This prophecy was fulfilled and recorded in every gospel. You can see Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, Luke 19, verses 28 through 40, and John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. In Zechariah chapter 10, the prophecy continues the theme of the coming Messiah by reminding God's people of God's promised blessings for Israel. There's only one command found in this entire chapter, and it occurs in verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring. Stephen Cole explains this command. God meant for this command to be taken both literally and spiritually. They were to ask God for the spring rains for their crops, but also they were to ask God to pour out His spiritual rain on His parched people. God promises to bring His scattered people back to the land and to strengthen them to walk in His name. So Zechariah exhorts them to ask God to send His spring rains to fulfill these promises. Cole also provides this overview of Zechariah chapter 10. For Zechariah's audience, these promises seemed so far removed from their immediate situation as to sound like fairy tales. Most of the Jews were still scattered across the Persian Empire. The weak remnant that had returned was threatened by hostile neighbors. The land was still devastated from the Babylonian conquest, but here Zechariah predicts that Israel will someday trample her enemies and be regathered in the land to the extent that no more room could be found. That's in chapter 10, verse 10. The Jews must have thought, this prophet has his head in the clouds. Perhaps some of you feel that way. When you hear of God's abundant promises, you think, no way. The reality gap between where you're living and what God has promised is so great that you have trouble believing that it could ever happen. If you can identify with that, then our text is for you. It falls into two sections. Verses 1 through 5 outline God's promised deliverance from enemies, and verses 6 through 12 describe God's promises of restoration and strength for His people, whom He will regather into their homeland. While these verses apply spiritually to the church, I agree with Charles Simeon, who wrote over 100 years before Israel became a nation. He asked, if the Jews regathering to the land is figurative, how could God say anything literal in plainer language than He uses here? At the present time, only part of this prophecy has been fulfilled. The Jews are returning to the land from all over the world, but they've not yet returned to the Lord. To that end, we should pray for the conversion of the Jews. Some questions to consider. How does God's promise of future deliverance and restoration provide hope amid the chaos in our world today? How does the prophecy of Jesus riding on a donkey, found in chapter 9, verse 9, relate to the character of Christ revealed in the New Testament? And finally, in what ways does Zechariah chapter 10 affirm God's compassion for his people. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day.